Hello, everybody. Welcome to Soul Essentials Healing. Soul Essentials Healing Hour. How's everybody doing this week? How's everybody doing today? Just want to give some time for people to join in, and then you guys can bring me your questions. Let me know what you want to talk about today, what topics you want to bring up. Let me know how you guys are doing, questions you have. Hi. Hey, Ken. Maria. No, it's not Maria, it's Marie, right? I got to put my glasses on. Marie, hi. How is everybody doing? Let me know your questions that you have tonight. What do you guys want to talk about? Looks like there's somebody else on with us. So if you have a question, if there's something you want to know, something you want to talk about, let me know. What are you guys dealing with this week? Hi, Berta, how you doing? So what is everybody dealing with this week? What's been going on? Self-healing. Anybody else have that topic? Career. Hey, Luis, how are you? Yes, thank you for joining. So, it's been kind of a topic today that's seemed to come up couple times today, and it's about why we do things. Why do we choose to do things? And the reason that we choose to do things is because, for the most part, now there are some things, we might be able to get into some cards in a little bit. Yeah. The reason that we choose to do things in life is because we see that there is a benefit in it. Everything that we choose to do, we feel like there is some sort of benefit, or we wouldn't do it, right? So whether if it's I go to work because the benefit is I'm going to get money, that is a reason why I do that, right? So whatever you're doing in life, even the people that you know, say have addiction or whatever, they might say, well, I have a beer because I need to relax. That's the benefit. So they think that's the benefit of it. So there's always a reason why you're doing something. And so any choices that you're making, any actions that you're doing, it's because you have some sense of perceived benefit in doing that action, right? So when it comes to like career and life choices, usually when we're young, we will pick certain jobs or certain things that will just kind of pay the bills or get us by. But as you go through life, you realize that you need more. You need something more in life. You need more freedom, or you need to actually enjoy your job or love your job. So when it comes to careers, my biggest advice is to pick something that you have a passion about. Pick something that you genuinely love or genuinely care about or genuinely have a passion for or want to do. Right? So, and when you lose passion for that, then switch. So for me, helping people has always been my passion. It's always something that I wanted to do. And that's where I need to be. That's where your career needs to stay, is in something you love. And if you can't get there right now, then you work on getting there, okay? So for, yes, Marie. So you pick what, now, the thing is about, you know, everybody has their ideas of what is needed in the world and what's important and what should or shouldn't be done. But the reality is we need it all. So we need the people that work with the animals. We also need the people that work with the older people. We need the people that work with children. We need the people that work with computers. We need it all. We need everybody. So whatever you do, you need to know that it's important, that it's valuable. And we need everybody doing their part and working in their field that they love to have a world that flows and that moves and that works together. So just pick something that you know gives you passion. If animals give you passion, then stay there. Do that. Okay? It's better to work somewhere where you're happy and where you're going to be fulfilled than where you're not going to be. So that's what I do. You know, like I said, helping has always been in my field. It's always been my thing. And in one way or another, I've always been helping somebody. Okay? So let me know what else you want to know about careers. I do think it's very important to match your personality and match your life purpose and your passion. We might be able to do some cards later. And let's see, what else do we have? Candace, you like mentioned a bunch of different things. So you mentioned like the self-healing, the self-respect, learning lessons. Basically, life is learning lessons, and this topic has come up a couple times today, so it's been kind of the theme for the day, is, you know, why do I do the things I do? Why do I do any self-sabotaging behaviors? Why do I do things that maybe I shouldn't do, or why do I gravitate towards people that I shouldn't gravitate towards? These are been topics kind of for today. And again, what I'm going to tell you is that we do these things because we see or we think that there's some sort of benefit out of them. And there's even people who are people pleasers. They're people pleasers because they feel like they feel more important when they're doing things for everybody. That's still a benefit. It's not the best benefit, but it's still a benefit, right? So the other part, the other topic that's been coming up a lot today, I found, is self-forgiveness. So it's forgiveness for the things that you've done in the past, the mistakes that you've made in the past, okay? And the only thing, to me, guilt has really no purpose. It only serves a purpose for a couple minutes. And, okay. Hi, Karen. So when you have done things in the past that maybe you are not so proud of, or you don't like, or maybe you don't like them at all, or maybe they were completely wrong. Okay, so we own that, we realize that, we see that for what it is. But what you need to realize is that whatever was going on in that situation, whatever you were dealing with at that time in your life, that is how you chose to respond. That doesn't mean that you responded the best way, but you have to also realize that you're judging yourself off of what you did in the past, hi Karen, for what you know now, okay? It is totally not fair to judge yourself based off of today, okay? What you know today for what you did in the past. Because if you had the same knowledge that you had today, you would not have done that. You would have made a different choice in the past, okay? You have to understand, like, literally each day when you get up, you are a new person. Why are you a new person? Because you have new knowledge. You have new experiences. Each experience in your life is a learning tool. So each day you have more knowledge. Each day you have more experience. So therefore you really are not the same person. And to judge yourself for what you know today is not fair. It's not even fair to do that to yourself. You literally did not have the same knowledge. But we do that a lot. We tend to sit there and be, well, I should have done this and I should have done that and this is what I should have done. But that wasn't the same mind frame that you had back then because you didn't have the same knowledge. Now you're looking at it, you know how it worked out, you can see, you know, the good side, the bad side, all the way around. It's simply not fair. You don't have the same view of it either. Okay? So the first thing to realize is that whatever decisions that you made in the past, it's because wherever you were at that time. That doesn't mean they were always the best decision, but that just means that's where you were at. And you have to have a level of love, a level of understanding, of compassion for yourself, for where you were at that time, with that knowledge, with those skills, with those abilities. That's all you had at that time. Okay, so then this can lead into how to navigate and trust in times of overwhelming uncertainty after making life decisions, right? Talk to yourself like you're talking to someone you love. Yes, thanks, Louise. So she said she read a quote that said, talk to yourself like you're talking to someone you love. Yes. And the thing is that normally we talk nicer to strangers than we talk to ourselves. We are worse with ourselves than we are with strangers, complete strangers. Most people that I have ever worked with, that I have ever talked to, it's across the board that we are our own worst enemies. And Michael Singer, that guy cracks me up. Michael Singer, the one that wrote The Untethered Soul. Karen, I'm going to get back to what you were talking about. I remember. But that guy cracks me up when I read his book. Yes, we are. Always. Across the board, no matter who I work with. We are harder on ourselves than anybody else is harder on. And wherever our parents kind of left off, we pick up. So if you had a parent that, you know, you were never good enough, you were never smart enough, you weren't fast enough, you weren't pretty enough, you weren't whatever, very quickly, and many times before the parents even stop criticizing us, because guys, we're products of our environment. We just are. We are products of our environment. This is not to make mom or dad bad, or your grandpa or your grandma bad, or whatever, but the reality is we are products of our environment. And most of the time, before our parents even stop criticizing us, we pick up that habit, okay? We pick up the habit of criticizing ourselves. We don't need anybody else to do it for us because we're already doing it worse than anybody else. But in Michael Singer's book, he says, if you had a wife or a husband or a girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, that talk to you the way that you talk to yourself, you'd break up with them. And I thought, that is so true. You would totally break up with yourself if somebody talked to you the way you talk to yourself, right? So watching what you're saying to yourself, how you're talking to yourself, the thoughts that you're allowing your mind to have is so, so important in how you feel, how your energy is, okay? If you are going to talk very negative to yourself, and I know that there are times and there's days where it's hard to come out of that negativity. I understand that it's very hard on some days, but the more you can come out of that stream of thinking, the more you can come out of those negative thoughts, the better you will feel, the less heavy the energy will be, okay? When we're thinking negative and we're down on ourselves and we're criticizing ourselves and we're being hard on ourselves, that energy is very heavy. And it's a downward spiral. It multiplies on itself. It makes us go down and down and down and down more and more. Okay? So, does everybody get everything? Pretend for a day that you lived with a physical person that talked. I love that. Yeah. You named yours? Yes. So you pretend that you live with a person. Hi, Samar. You live with a person, and you can name that person, and that person treats you the way you treat you. It's not a real person, it's a pretend person. You can give them a name, and then see how fast you would break up with them. It would be very fast. If you actually lived with somebody that talked to you the way that you talk to yourself, you would break up with them. And I thought that was so funny in his book. So let's tie this into what you have brought up, Karen, above. How to navigate and trust in times of overwhelming uncertainty after making life-changing decisions. Again, when we make a decision in life, when we choose to do something, so first off, we don't normally get what we want in life. We get what we choose. So when you want something, the universe says, yes, you want that. That's nice. But when you choose to do something, when you put your intention on something that's different, it's more forceful. It's stronger. It puts energy behind it. It allows for action to take place, whether that action be yours or that action be the universe answering you and making things happen and come together and work in those synchronicities, okay? So whenever we make a decision, a choice in life, it is because we think that it is better for us, or it is beneficial for us, or there is some benefit to us. Otherwise, we wouldn't. If we felt like it would be better to stay where we are and do what we're doing and make no change than to make the change, we would just stay where we are. Okay, so we always feel like there is a bigger benefit in doing something when we make a change. We feel like it will be better for us. Maybe it's for us. Maybe it's for the animals. Maybe it's for our kids. Or maybe it's for our finances. But it's always to benefit in some way. So that's the first thing. The first thing is, most of the time, I'm not saying we don't ever make a bad choice in life. There are times when we make a bad choice. But for the most part, trust in your intuition, your sense, your pull, that you made that decision in the first place. There's a reason why you made that decision in the first place. Trust in that there was a sense within you, a feeling within you, a pull that said, hey, we need something more. We need something better right now. Now, this isn't the grass is greener on the other side. I'm talking about when you really feel like I need to make this change to better my life, okay? You need to trust that inside of you, you have that feeling, you have that sense, you have that knowing, okay? That is your higher self speaking to you. That's your higher self saying, hey, hello, yoo-hoo, over there. We need to change something, we need to do something. And then what happens is, normally what we do is we make a choice. We say, oh, okay, I want this thing. I want to get this new thing. I want to do this new thing. That's what they call day one. Day two is when all the doubts come flooding in, right? And then day three is we either take the action and we do it, or we don't because of what day two did. When you make a change and you're doubting that change, what's happened is you've snapped back into day two. The problem is that you already made the change. So you've snapped back into all the doubt, which is all your rational mind saying, what did you do? Why did I do all of those things? Well, there was a reason why you did all of those things. Your soul, your higher self was talking to you. So how do you navigate it. One, you realize that that is the mind, okay, which is, the mind is naturally programmed to be negative, to keep you alive as a species. It's naturally programmed to do that. Its job is to keep you alive and to look out for danger, worry, concern, problems. That's its job. So it's doing its job. The problem is that it doesn't stop doing that job. Okay? So what you would do is you would notice that that negative thinking is coming, and you would acknowledge that thought. Oh, there's that thought. Oh, yeah, there's that negative thought. Oh, thank you. Thanks for that negative thought. But you know what? No, I really do want this. It is hot. I am hot, guys. I really do want this new house. I really do want this new job. I really do want this new relationship. I really do. So you know what? I'm going to trust that my higher self knows what's best for me, that the universe is there for me, that the universe is going to answer me and be there for me and put all the things into place. So it's about removing that doubt and trusting that, number one, you made that decision for a reason. Not criticizing yourself, not judging yourself. Knowing that this decision that you made will be the best thing for you because you made this decision with your higher self, and that the universe always answers you. Whenever we ask the universe for something, the universe says, yes, sure, absolutely. You can have it. There you go. The problem isn't whether we're allowed to have it, because the universe's answer, the universe, God, is love, is unconditional love, unconditional wealth and prosperity and everything. So, oh, thanks. When you ask for something, the universe just says, yes, that's that quote that they quote Jesus, and it says, you know what, you guys, can you guys hear me? My volume is down. Nobody said they couldn't hear me. I'll turn it up. That's that quote where Jesus says, ask anything in my name and it is done, it is given. That's what's meant by that. That's what that quote means by Jesus. He says, ask anything. And the universe says, yes, sure, you can have it. The problem is that what you asked for, the sound is good? Okay. What you asked for is here. Okay? Oh, Facebook is reversed. So, and what you want is over here. Okay? Okay. So, what happens is you've asked for something here, but what you want is over here. So the universe says, yes, you can have it, but I'm going to have you go through this lesson, and go through this one, and go through this one, and go through this, and then you'll be here. Then you will be aligned with what you want. Then you and what you want will be aligned. You will be in the same vibration. Does that make sense? So when you want something from the universe that is not showing up, that's what they mean by saying you're not aligned with it. You're not aligned with it. Your audio's not working? Okay. I turned mine up, Berta. You're not aligned with it yet. When they say that you know, your vibration isn't right or anything like that, that's what they actually mean is you have something you want. The universe says you can have it, but it needs to move you over here. So in order to get you over here, we either have to get rid of a relationship, or we have to change a job, or maybe we have to move. Things have to happen to get you in line with what it is you're asking for. Is that what happened to Simone Biles? She doubted herself and decided to quit. Well, I mean, I can't actually, I can't answer for that, but I'm most likely yes. Yes. So, Karen, let me know if that answers your question, or if you have another question behind that one that I can clean up for you, clear up for you. If I haven't described it yet, let me know. Self-doubt is because it's called self-efficacy. Self-efficacy is the belief I can. It is the sense that I can do something. That's self-efficacy. And when I find like moms who are like super good moms, like way too good of moms, okay? And they do everything for the children, and I mean everything. Like the children are barely doing anything for themselves. It would be, you know, like mom's giving a 10-year-old a shower and the 10-year-old not showering by himself. I mean, I'm talking everything. What happens is these moms, it's not that they're bad moms, it's that they do everything for these kids, and these kids don't learn how. So what they really don't learn is self-efficacy. They don't learn that they can. And then they have problems believing in themselves. Okay? So a lot of times in life, this is where it's not just tough love. This is kind of how I think that God sees us. God sees us doing things in life. He sees us making choices. That doesn't mean that he necessarily agrees with those choices or likes those choices, even though God doesn't really have those opinions. He instead is always there, and he allows us to fall at times in our life. Because one, he knows that we have to fall in order to learn that lesson, to get us in a line with what it is we're asking for. And two, if we don't learn to fall, so if a child never learns to fall, then they never learn to get up. They never learn how to get up. So it's very painful, like all of my girls, you know, well, not all of them yet, but my girls, when I would watch them, you know, get boyfriends and break up, and I just want to run in and save them, and I don't want them to have that pain, and I don't want them to be hurt. But the thing is that those painful relationships in teenager, you know, when they're teenagers, it actually teaches them how to break up in life, how to have a breakup. I'm not saying everybody has to have one, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying when you have a breakup when you're a teenager, it helps to teach you how to have a breakup when you're in your 20s and stuff, right? When you're a teenager, you're still living at home or whatever, you still have your parents you could lean back on. So then when you become 20, you've done this a couple times, and you know, life's, it may be rough, but it, you have a better coping because you've learned how to get up. Does this make sense for everybody? So when you can start to take the bad things that have happened in your life and realize, this is another kind of theme for the day that's been coming out today, is when you can take the bad things that have happened in your life and pull the lessons out of them and say, what did I learn from that? What did I get from that? And then you let go. You say, okay, that's what I got out of it. You drop it. You let go of the guilt. You let go of the resentment. You let go of the whole situation, the whole scenario, you just let it go. And you say, okay, that's what I got out of that. So if I had a friend, let's say, that I thought we were good friends and we were hanging out and we were doing things together, and then it seemed like this friend was always wanting something from me, or maybe they were always asking me for $5, or maybe I was always giving them a ride somewhere. But then when I needed to get a ride somewhere, they weren't answering the phone. Or when I needed $20, they just didn't have it, okay? So now my feelings are hurt, and now I'm getting all kinds of mad, and then this pattern keeps happening and keeps happening, and then I start to think, well, why am I doing this? Like, you know, I don't know, maybe they just don't like me, or maybe I can't have good friends. So now I'm starting to turn this on to me. Starting to make this about myself. And then it keeps going on, and then I'm like, oh, I did it again. I gave her a ride, and when I needed a ride, she didn't. I'm so stupid. Why did I do that? I keep doing this. And then finally it all kind of boils down and stops. Stop talking to her. The relationship breaks up. What can I get out of that? Well, I can get the fact that when I have a relationship with somebody, it needs to be 50-50. They need to put in and I need to put in. I can pull out of there that I am a good friend, that I am dependable. I can pull out that I need to set boundaries. I need to learn to say no. So then I can pull out all these gifts in that relationship. Pull out all these gifts and I can say, you know what? Thank you for showing me that. Thank you for teaching me that, and then drop it. Leave it. Don't go back and reminisce about how many times you gave her a ride and she didn't give you one. Just drop it. It's done. It's over. You learned the lesson. You are now stronger. You're wiser. You now have new knowledge. Therefore, you're a new person, and you move forward. You let it go. Okay? And when you start to learn to do that in life, instead of holding on to the past and re-going over it and beating yourself up, you take the lesson, you move forward, you heal, and then you realize that these lessons were there to teach you. Then you really can start trusting the universe. Because then you can say, okay, I know this isn't very fun right now. I know this doesn't feel good right now, but I know it's happening for a reason, and I know that it's for my benefit, and I know in the end it's going to work out. And even if it doesn't work out the right way, I will be stronger, I will be wiser, I will be better off, I will know more. I will have learned something from this that will be creating the new me in the future. That's another way to trust when you make a decision and it's unfamiliar and it's scary. It's change. We don't like change. Most humans don't like change. There's a few that do, but most of us don't like change. We like the same. We like security, because there is still a part of us that wants to be safe. It wants to feel safe. That is still part of our innate nature, human nature. All right, so let's see. What about when you watch a friend being used, always eating at her house, not bringing anything, or helping with her clean up? I couldn't stand her friends. What is next? Okay, so in that situation, there isn't anything you can really do. So, I mean, if you were in the home and, you know, you were there with the other friends there and they were taking advantage, you could say, hey, you know, let's help her out and wash the dishes. You could do that as an announcement type thing. You could tell the friend, which I think you have done. You could tell the friend, you know, hey, these people are using you, and you know, these aren't good relationships, and you need to set boundaries, and you need to say no. But here's the thing. Until she feels like she deserves better, she will continue to do the same thing. Because again, we do what we feel will benefit us. So she feels like having these friends is some sort of benefit to her. It's making her feel needed or wanted, or even though they're using her, she still is getting that. That doesn't mean it's right, but she's still getting that sense. And until she sees more benefit out of setting a boundary than out of being used, she won't make the change. She just won't make the change. And until she believes in herself more and believes she's worth more, she won't make the change. So for many years, I stayed in an abusive marriage. My first marriage was an abusive marriage, okay? It was an abusive alcoholic. And one of the big reasons I stayed stuck was because I had three children. I was young, so extremely poor, and when I would ask my mom, you know, to move in with her, she would basically tell me no. So I stayed in this relationship for a very, very 12 years. I stayed in this relationship, this abusive relationship, until I finally really, really said, you know what? I deserve better. I deserve better. I need better. I want better. But I deserve better. When I really made that choice, that's when I really moved forward. That's when I really made the true change. Is I deserve to be treated better. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to have peace in my life. Really, I was looking for peace in my life because it was so violent all the time and just so chaotic. So it's very frustrating to watch people in abusive relationships. And I had, you know, some family members. I had a couple of really close friends who, you know, were watching me in these relationships. And it was very difficult for them to watch me in that. It's very frustrating to watch somebody in an abusive relationship and them not get out. But, you know, there isn't anything they could have done. It was within me. So until she makes that change within her, there really isn't much that you can do. You can support her, you can say things, but there does, some people it does, there is a point where it's just too much. You can't keep watching them be treated that way. And that is a choice that, you know, you can make. So you made the change by not hanging out with them, yes. No, my, should your mother have helped you and let you move in? Probably, because my mother was the one that forced me to get married. My mom actually forced me to get married at 15. So she probably should have let me move in with her earlier when I wanted to. But what I want to say to that is, I do believe that life plays out exactly how it's supposed to play out. So apparently, for whatever reason, it wasn't time before it was time. Does that make sense? It was just not time before it was time. And whatever it is that I had to learn up until then, I wouldn't have fully learned it. So can you not do that right now, please? If I had left earlier. So, hey, Tammy, how are you doing? So, you want to trust in divine timing. I do believe that things happen for a reason. They happen on purpose, and they happen when they're supposed to happen. And we can't learn lessons for other people. As much as we would like to, we just can't. we can't learn lessons from for them.
So what other questions do you guys have tonight? What other things do you want to talk about tonight? So we're talking about self-esteem. We're talking about learning to love yourself. We've talked about making choices, decisions. Sorry, this earphone made my ears go crazy. Should I feel guilty and accept her invitation to go to Maui? Well, you should never feel guilty, Samar. You want to ask yourself deep inside. So there was a client that I had at one point that told me this interesting thing. They said they were from India, actually, and they said, if you follow this process, they told me, if you follow this process, you'll always know what to do. And I don't know that it's that easy, but they said, you ask the question. Okay, that's your mind. And then you put the question into your heart. You see what the heart has to say, how the heart feels, and then you do it. So it was like head, heart, hand. It's the same kind of principle. You ask the question, and then you put it into your heart. So what I would ask you to rest with that or to meditate with that and see if it feels okay with you, if it feels good for you. Now, since you're in Maui, which would be an awesome vacation, and it's not necessarily like her home, you know, it might be a little different environment, so it might be a better time. And, you know, if you do finally have some spare time, then it might be a nice treat. Even if you do go, you know, you could even kind of go off maybe on your own a little bit and go just meditate on the beach or whatever. So I don't think you should feel guilty. That's not how you want to do it. Oh, wow, nice. Nice. So it's not about feeling guilty, because we don't ever want to do anything from that guilty space. You want to do it because it's something that you want to do, or you want to spend time with her, and maybe you're not as comfortable with the other friends. You know, maybe you could go do a tour just by yourself or something like that. Yeah. But I would check with your heart. So you guys do know that I've talked about the Heart Math Institute before, and that the heart actually has more brain cells in it than we originally thought. They found out that the heart has brain cells, actual brain cells in it, neurites, and your heart actually, it gets the energetic signal first. The heart actually gets the signal first, and then it goes to the brain. We think that everything hits the brain first, but it doesn't actually hit the brain first. It hits the heart first. Okay? So, you want to bring things into your heart space and ask how your heart feels about it. And I know people are like, oh, you know, you need to think with your head, not your heart. Some of that is true. If you're in an abusive relationship and you need to think with your head, like, hey, okay, you know, this is an abusive relationship. Oh, but I love him. You know, yeah, we might have a little bit of an issue. But for things like this, I would ask you to go into your heart. So let me explain to you how to go into the heart real quick, and then we'll look at that. Literally, if you want to tap into your intuition, which, she's asked a question. If you were ever to get a tattoo, what meditation vision would you choose, and where?
And somebody mentioned you getting your dog, but you're not really into tattoos. I'm actually not into tattoos either. I have considered tattoos before, but when I envision like seeing my body and then seeing some sort of mark on there, it's just I don't wanna. It's not my thing. Other people have them, that's fine, whatever. So I think that if I ever got one, I would make it probably very small. It would be something very spiritual. It would be a spiritual symbol or saying, something towards self-love and being infinite. Perhaps maybe it might even be like a Chinese symbol, something like that. I would probably get it very small, either like, on an ankle or, I don't know, somewhere where I could see it. So, things on the back I can't ever see, so why would I have it there? Can't ever see it. I don't want it on my back. So it'd be something like that. But breathing in, so when you want to tap into intuition like that, so if you want to ask, where do I put this tattoo, or should I go on this trip? One of the fastest things, best things to do is to breathe. And I know everybody's like, oh, I don't want to breathe, don't tell me to breathe. But just taking some breaths, what that does is that puts you into the body. Okay? That gets you in touch with the body. That's where intuition is. A lot of us want to be up here in the head and all of that, but your intuition is actually interpreted by your body. Your body is what reads the energy. So we have to be in touch with the body to develop that intuition. You have to be in touch with the body. So you want to take some breaths. That's the first thing you want to do. The other thing is learning to listen to what your body is saying or feeling or hearing or seeing when you are trying to tap into the intuition. If it's just an energetic body thing, what am I feeling? Am I feeling secure? Am I feeling safe? Does this feel happy? Does this feel good, bad? Right. And for the heart math, if you want to get in touch with your body and ask yourself a question, you put your hand on your heart, if you need to, put your hand on your heart and you actually pretend to breathe in through your heart and out. Pretend to be breathing in actually through your heart. Pretend to actually be breathing through your heart, okay? And what that will do is that will actually sync up your heart and your mind, and it will put you into your body, and it will open the heart space, and it will open the whole intuition and everything, right? Yeah, you avoided breathing for 20 years? Yes, I know. It's amazing that everybody's like, oh, don't make me breathe. Now, I'm not definitely not into the Wim Hof breathing. That's not my thing. It's a little aggressive for me. But I do like, the deep, taking a deep breath, getting centered. That works very well. It's a very nice part of meditation. Yes, rubbing the heart area, but drawing the focus to the heart area. Pretending that instead of breathing in through your lungs, through your mouth, that you're actually breathing in through your heart, it actually is very healing, it's very calming, it connects you with your intuition. And then once you calm down, it also helps to calm the mind. When you take those few breaths in through the heart, it helps to calm that mind. When you calm that mind, so this is a very clear way to calm the mind. Then you can get intuition. Then you can ask your question. Then you can get the answers. You can hear the answers. So, these are some things that I actually do in my life. All right. So, what else do we want to talk about today? What else? So, today is about healing and trusting yourself, decisions that you've made or are making. Understanding that anything that you've choices you've made in the past, it's because that's where you were at the time. that's the knowledge that you had. That's all you had to work with. Awesome session. Thank you, Candace. And, you know, we have to learn self-forgiveness, and we have to learn self-love. And that is one of the ways to get to self-worth. If you have a level of compassion for yourself, that doesn't mean that you don't change. That doesn't mean that you don't grow. That just means that you have a level of compassion for wherever you are, whatever you're doing, or have done, or been doing in your life. That's all the knowledge that you had at the time. And, you know, that is the perception that you have. So, and a lot of times what I find is people get stuck on, it's the same for the other person. Like, why did you do that action? Well, that's where you were at the time. That's where you were. That was your level of awareness, your level of consciousness, your level of understanding, your level of processing. That's where you were at. That's why you did that behavior. I'm not talking about right or wrong. I'm saying that's why. And you understand that. And you say, wow, that's just where I was. Okay. And then you say, well, I just don't understand how somebody could do that to me. How did that person do that? Why did they do that to me? They did that to you because that's where they're at. That's what they have. That's their level of consciousness. That's their level of processing. That's their level of love. That's their level. I'm not talking right or wrong. I'm saying that's where they are at. That's how they could do that to you. It's not just you. They would do it whether it was you or somebody else. Doesn't matter who it was, because that's where they are at. So they would act that way with you and the next person and the next person and the next person, because that's their level of functioning. So their level of love may be here. This is their level of love. They don't have any more. They don't have any more to give you. And it's whether it gives you or the next person or the next person. This is what they have. Now your level may be up here. And you say, well, but I love up here, so why can't they love me up here? Because they're here. They don't have that. They don't have it. So it's not about you. It's about them and where they're at. Okay? What if they were drunk or high when they made the decisions? Is that more a gut? No. Okay, so here's the thing about substance abuse. So, how do I explain this? I'm going to try to see if I can show you a diagram. It's kind of hard to do because the camera's backwards. So, you have, let me see if I can do it this way. So, you have the brainstem and you have the reptile brain, right? This is the brainstem, this is the reptile brain in the body. The reptile brain is very instinctual. It's very much about survival. It's about eating. It's about finding a place to sleep. It's about staying alive, okay? The snakes have this, dogs and cats actually have that to a certain extent as well. Cows have it. I mean, pigs, they're just trying to survive. They have this reptile instinctual brain. Now, I think that dog and cats have a little bit of this. They have a little bit more than just that reptile brain. But humans, so you have the reptile brain, okay? But humans have this, it's so hard to do this on here. They have this neocortex. It's on top of the reptile brain, okay? This neocortex here is the part of the brain that allows us to know, to think, to speak. It allows us to be human, to be what we are as humans. That is the part that does that. That neocortex that sits on top of the brain. It sits right over the reptile brain. the front part of it, which is right here, the frontal lobe, okay? Frontal lobe holds your reasoning, your rationale, your right, wrong, your morals, your values. It also holds your concept of time. It's a frontal lobe right here. Also holds your inhibition, like should I do something or should I not do something, okay? The minute that you take a drug, and I have a daughter who's on here, who I will not talk to her until she drinks her coffee. I cannot. The child cannot have a conversation without that dang coffee. I'm like, please, will you please take a drink of coffee, because we can't even talk right now. You're following the conversation. I don't even know what you're talking about. So even coffee, because caffeine is technically a drug, right? Takes a drink of coffee. Oh, I'm awake. Frontal lobe's affected. The minute you take a drug, your frontal lobe is affected. You are no longer thinking with your brain. You are thinking with the addict brain. Now, I am not saying that this makes what they do okay, but what I am saying is the reason they can steal from grandma is because they are no longer thinking with their brain. They are thinking with the addict brain. Their right, wrong, their rationale, their inhibition, their ability to stop themselves. All of that has been immediately affected by the drug. Immediately. I am not saying that it's okay to steal from grandma. I'm saying this is why they do it. This is why they can do it. This is why they show up late. This is why they lie. They are literally thinking with a different brain. Okay? So it's not really a gut thing. It's literally a different brain, because it is an affected brain by drug use. So you guys can let me know if that makes sense to everybody, if it doesn't make sense. So I work with substance abuse a lot, and we have to work on the fact that they did a lot of things while they were using that they would not have normally done. And it is because they're literally thinking with a different brain, literally. So, and that's where step four comes in, with making amends, letting people know that they're sorry and everything. Yes. They're not thinking with their brain. So, the addict brain is quite interesting, actually. So, any other questions that we have tonight? Anything else that we want to talk about? And again, when it comes to the addiction or the drinking or whatever, you want to realize that not only is, you know, people are self-serving. People are looking to do what's the best benefit for them, especially if they're using. If they're using, it's like doubled, quadrupled. So people are, not us in this group, because we're more aware or awakened, or at least we should be, right? If we're in this group. But most people are very self-serving, and then you add an addiction to it, their self-serving is just blown out of the water. There's a whole dynamic that goes into substance abuse, and if you guys want, we can do a talk on it one night about substance abuse and how it takes over the body and the mind. It's actually pretty amazing what it actually does. Not that it's a good thing, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it's actually pretty amazing. So, alright, what else do we want to talk about tonight? What other questions you guys have for me? Anything? You guys are all set? Well, I want to thank you guys for being here tonight, coming on and talking with me and having questions. Thank you, Louise. Okay. I hope to talk to you soon. Thank you. All right, everybody. So I'm going to jump off of here and go relax for the night. And thank you for everybody coming up. And I will be back next week. Talk to you soon.